Ryan previously served as the Secretary of Environment and the Natural Resources Trustee for the state of Mexico. As Environment Secretary, Ryan broke several key agreements with federal state agencies, including landmark settlements with the United States EPA and the Department of Energy. Ryan serves in the Mexico Air National Guard and the Army of Service. And is a proud father of two girls, Olivia and Margaret. And also, just what I said a second ago about the mobile is back and we're really relevant to you. Great example that just happened this morning. Ryan just told me he got a phone call from the number two guy at the US EPA asking for Ryan and the mobile support to help learn about air issues and all that stuff. And that wonderful work got the feds now asking us for help. So, Ryan. This is incredible. Just as context, our state's budget is $6.2 billion a year. We've seen more than double of our state's budget invested in the state over the past year. And with these investments comes increased production. In fact, the number of drilling rigs up and running today is more than four times where it was in March of 2016. We have over 69 drilling rigs up and running today. This production is remarkable in light of some of the challenges we continue to face in terms of operating in a low-priced environment. And our ability to continue to thrive in New Mexico is a testament to your resilience. You are efficient, and you are continuing to find new ways to do more with less. And as you heard Lee Tillman say a minute ago, that doesn't mean shortchanging any of the safeguards for protecting our environment or protecting our workers. We're able to operate more efficiently without compromising our standards. And that's really a tribute to you, the people on this room. And just as our industry has continued to evolve and adapt over the last year, NEMOGA has continued to evolve and adapt. A year ago, I told you that we were going to evolve, we were going to influence, and NEMOGA was going to become the most powerful organization in the state again. And I am really proud to tell you today that we are well on our way to reaching this goal. First and foremost, the new NEMOGA has a new team in place, and I want to take a minute to make sure I introduce you to each one of our members. Like any great team, you build around your superstar. And for more than two decades, Marie Gutierrez, the Allegheny, has been a partner.
Patrick Padilla as our deputy director to come over from the state land office and join our team. And Patrick's been working primarily as our regulatory policy expert on staff, working with the committees that truly are doing remarkable work to help protect our license to operate in the state. We've also added Amy Verity, who came to us from the Department of Tourism. Amy is managing our stakeholder engagement and external affairs, and she has been a tireless worker. And you've seen Amy in Farmington, you've seen her in Hobbs, and she is there more, quite honestly, than she's in Santa Fe. And that's a testament to her work ethic. Finally, we've gone out of state to lure a blue chip recruit, and that's Robert McIntyre, who's our Director of Communications. Robert has experience working on presidential campaigns as well as in gubernatorial races, and he's been in the center of the fire in New Mexico for the last couple of years, serving as the Director of Communications for the Public Education Department, which got a couple state legislators in the audience that can attest has not exactly been a quiet place to be over the last couple of years. In addition to our new team, we've got a new logo. We've done away with the drop and flame, and we've embraced an image that more closely connects our organization with the state that we represent. We also have some new colors. We've moved away from the blacks and browns, and we've embraced blues and greens. Warmer, more inviting colors to make people attracted a little bit more to our organization. And finally, most importantly, we've got a new tagline. We want to really connect what our industry means to the state of New Mexico. A stronger economy, a brighter future. And that's really what oil and gas means to New Mexico. We are the bedrock of New Mexico's economy. We provide high-paying jobs and the revenue that all of our state depends on. We are also instrumental to a successful future for New Mexico. Our industry funds our most precious resources, and that's our schools, which are educating our children. Our industry also supports their families by providing high-paying jobs that really benefit our state. And that tagline is designed to connect our industry with the state of New Mexico, so people who don't live in southeast New Mexico and northwestern New Mexico understand exactly what we mean and what we bring to the state. But, you know, the changes to our image and are the way that we interact externally with the public is not nearly as important as the changes to the values that we've identified as being critical to our success moving forward. And first and foremost, our first value starts with you. We have renewed our commitment to our members. We don't lead the industry from Santa Fe. You lead the industry from southeast and northwestern New Mexico, and we know we work for you. And that's why you see us constantly in southeastern New Mexico and in northwestern New Mexico, making sure we're understanding your operations, we're connecting with your employees, so we can bring your story back up to Santa Fe. Second is a new attitude. NEMOGA is going to be the most powerful organization in the state of New Mexico, period. We're going to compete with our opposition at every single level and in every single arena, and we're going to win these fights as we move forward. We're not going to try hard. We're not looking for participation trophies. We're looking to influence the narrative and win these disputes as we move forward. Third is a sense of urgency. We're not going to wait for policy to come to us and push us in a direction or another. We represent the most innovative industry in the world, and we need to act with a sense of urgency to ensure that we're driving the policy discussions, we're driving public discourse, we're driving election discussions and debates. We're not just waiting for the dust to settle and being pushed in one direction or another. And finally, NEMOGA is focused on the drivers of change. And for us, this really means just asking ourselves a simple question each and every time we're trying to confront an issue or make a decision. That's, how will this benefit the oil and gas industry? Just as you have to operate in a tough environment, in a competitive environment, and be resilient and efficient, your trade association needs to do the same. And if it doesn't benefit our industry, then we're not going to do it, whether it's a communications effort or whether it's an expenditure of our resources. We're going to focus on what matters in order to move this industry forward. And I tell you that this new MOGA, this new commitment has come at the perfect time because our state and our industry is facing unprecedented challenges in New Mexico. New Mexico truly is the tip of the spear when it comes to anti-industry rhetoric and mobilized opposition. Our industry operates in a constantly shifting environment. And two of the greatest challenges we consistently face are political uncertainty or regulatory risk, as well as a well-established, extremely well-funded activist machine operating in the state of New Mexico. We have seen millions of dollars over the last few years pour into New Mexico to support their issues and efforts in order to oppose our industry. And the two biggest issues that we're seeing right now and we will see over the next year center on hydraulic fracturing as well as methane emissions. So let me tell you a little bit more about what our opposition looks like in New Mexico and talk to you a little bit about what's happening at the federal level. Well, with respect to political uncertainty, certainly the last election was a breath of fresh air for New Mexico in terms of federal policy in New Mexico. We've seen the Trump administration embrace science-based policies. Their appointments, whether it be Secretary Zinke of the Department of Interior or Scott Pruitt at EPA, have embraced science-based approaches that look to streamlining permitting processes and eliminating bureaucratic red tape. It's important to note, though, that these are just the promises that have been made. And while we certainly are grateful for the messages, and we're optimistic about the direction of the new administration, the key is going to be turning these messages and these communications into actionable results that we can feel right here in New Mexico. BLM's permitting processes, or rather their inefficiencies in the permitting process, cost our state $2.3 million a day in deferred revenue. And if it's costing our state that much money, think about how much it's costing you. And so we've lost 10 months so far. We've only guaranteed 3 more years with an administration that supports our industry. And the MOGA needs to act now to make sure we're influencing federal policy in order to help eliminate inconsistency. In addition, in Santa Fe, we've been the beneficiary of 7 years of relative stability in our industry. Suzanne Martinez, my former boss, she's embraced all of the above approach to energy policy. And probably the most consistent benefit to our industry over the last 7 years is that we don't have to worry when we walk into each legislative session about a harmful piece of legislation being signed into law. The governor has served as a backstop to prevent harmful legislation from being passed that would make extremely difficult challenges for our industry. But we have an election coming up in a year. And with an election comes, again, regulatory uncertainty and political uncertainty as we try to figure out what's going to happen in 2019. And our opponents in the state, they recognize this. And they are constantly at work pushing back against our industry. I want to talk to you a little bit about who exactly are our opponents in New Mexico. We have an environmental activist network here that is mobilized constantly around the clock. Literally, if there's an issue, they have bodies in meetings, in hearings. They are active in the press, they are active on social media, and they are active with our political leaders. If they step off a message, you bet they hear it. I've talked to a number of leaders who told me if they don't embrace a particular position of one of these activist groups, they will immediately receive over 500 emails within 24 hours. And they're threatening them. We're going to run someone else to oppose you. In addition to being mobilized 24/7, our opposition is deeply embedded in local communities. They are very closely linked with progressive grassroots organizations. They've got a sophisticated network, constantly at work, pushing issues that are important to them and potentially harmful to us. The other thing that's remarkable is that our opponents are constantly wrong. They're not just on college campuses, they're in high schools, they're in middle schools. They're out there looking to add more and more bodies to mobilize and be parts of this discussion. I was in Sandoval County last week, and our opponents rallied 150 people to a public meeting in Sandoval County, which is considered one of the more conservative areas in the state. Their ability to mobilize is something we have to take seriously and combat. And finally, our opposition has become a political force in New Mexico. First and foremost, they're spending millions of dollars in elections. We were able to track over $2 million in expenditures alone in the last election cycle from groups that are aligned with the anti-fossil fuel agenda. For a state like New Mexico, that's a lot of money. That's all that we're able to track. And that's a huge amount of money that's pouring in from outside the state. They're also recruiting candidates and participating at a grassroots level in city council races, county commission races, state legislative races. Now, who are these opponents? Well, you can't go anywhere in Mexico without tripping over an activist group. In fact, we have more activist organizations per capita in New Mexico than any other state in the country. And what's remarkable when you start to look at these organizations, at what they're at the agenda that they're pursuing, it's not a forward-looking pro-environmental agenda. We all are committed to protecting our water, to protecting our air, to operating in an environmentally responsible fashion. But when you look at their literature, they're not trying to work with us and find a sensible balance. You look at these websites, their messages are end fossil fuels, end development, beyond oil and gas. Just keep it in the ground. One such group that you're going to hear a lot from over the next group is a group called CABU that was just formed in New Mexico. And their number one issue is methane. And their number one target is the oil and gas industry. They've made a huge investment in PR and communications work over the next year. And their stated goal is to show how our industry is failing the state. Now, I want to be clear. This is no more than an election year hit piece designed to influence the political discourse around our industry moving forward. The goal is to move moderate candidates as far away from our industry and closer to their positions as possible. The types of issues that you see CABU and other organizations really centering on in New Mexico are first and foremost hydraulic fracturing. Hydraulic fracturing and opposition to hydraulic fracturing presents the greatest threat to our industry and to our license to operate moving forward. This is obviously not a science or fact-based discussion. It's an emotional discussion. But unfortunately, our polling reveals that over 55% of New Mexicans are opposed to hydraulic fracturing. This transcends party lines. We have a lot of people who are pro-oil and gas, but opposed to hydraulic fracturing. And this shift is remarkable when you look back at where we were as an industry on this issue just a little over 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago, we had a majority of New Mexicans that were in favor of hydraulic fracturing. But we've lost 16 points today. And if we went to the polls right now, we would see an overwhelming majority of New Mexicans take action to prohibit hydraulic fracturing. And our opponents aren't having this discussion in the abstract. And what they're doing is using certainly the places and issues as a rallying cry to have this debate. Look at Chaco Canyon. If you drive around Santa Fe or walk around today, I'm sure you will see a "Don't Frack Chaco" bumper sticker. And really, this strategy is to tie a specific area a culturally significant resource with an issue that they can use to rally their base and to position oil and gas against some of our indigenous communities. In addition to Chaco, New Mexico will constantly see water policy discussions manifest themselves in debates about hydraulic fracturing and oil and gas. And any New Mexican will tell you, debates about water policy are extremely important to our state. We're an arid state, and we depend on water. And water policy debates in the state always generate a huge amount of interest. Unfortunately, this issue draws a lot of, I think, cheap maneuvers by politicians looking to try to fan the flames of fear about our industry using an issue that polls extremely low. Now, oil and gas, for context, we use less than 1% of the water in New Mexico on an annual basis. Agriculture is our number one user as a state of water. 82% of our water is consumed for agricultural uses each year. Oil and gas and mining combined account for a little over 1% of our water use. But more and more, when you see our opposition or political leaders talk about this issue, they focus solely on one industry, and one industry is the use of water, and that's oil and gas. And as we move forward, we must continue to provide context, but we also must continue to highlight all the amazing work that you're doing in order to recycle and reuse and protect our water resources. In addition to the debate around hydraulic fracturing, methane is an issue that we're going to be hearing quite a bit about in New Mexico over the next year. We're calling it kind of the new hydraulic fracturing issue for our environmental opponents. And as you saw from that Cabo campaign, which is extremely well funded, we have a number of other groups like the Environmental Defense Fund who are using methane as a wedge issue in the next political cycle. The one good thing about the methane issue is that New Mexicans haven't really made up their minds about methane, and they don't quite understand the issue. So we believe we absolutely can win this fight. But we need to be proactive, and we need to make sure we're communicating, once again, all the great things our industry is doing to reduce emissions, to innovate, and to stay ahead of the curve. So these are some of the threats our industry is facing. And I want to finish by talking to you a little bit about what NEMOCA is doing to address these threats. I think our board made some really amazing decisions over the last year to really anticipate where the threats were coming from and to empower our organization to adapt and evolve. We're going to start by communicating our message first and foremost. We need to communicate better with the public in order to advance a pro-industry narrative throughout the state and move people closer to us. The red and greens are nice, but solid messages that people understand and realize each and every day are ultimately going to draw people to our industry and understand our values in the state. We also need to build an army. We can't come to local public meetings and our opponents turn out 150 people and we only have 8 people there supporting our industry. We need to fight power with power. We absolutely need to mobilize an army of advocates who can make their voices heard in the discussions. In addition, we're going to engage politically. We can't let our opponents drive election narratives and participate in the process and allow us to sit on the sidelines. Finally, we're going to continue to fight for good policy and regulations.
Get your
talk a little bit about our communication, because that's been the hallmark of the new NEMOCA over the last year. In February, our board approved a strategic communications plan that's really formed the base of how we approach our communications with the public. This is a data-driven campaign that focuses on the message that resonates most effectively with New Mexicans. And in fact, when you hear from us, you will always hear us referencing certain core messages
that really resonate in the state of New Mexico. Our core messages, first and foremost, is the fact that our industry provides one-third of the budget to the state on an annual basis. You may not live in a producing region, but you sure as heck receive some benefits from state government. Your children may ride on buses. You know a teacher down the street. One out of three teachers' salaries are funded directly by the revenue provided by our industry. Our second message that we will consistently communicate is the jobs our industry provides. We have 1.8 million people in the state of New Mexico, and our industry is responsible for creating over 100,000 jobs in New Mexico, which dwarfs any other industry in the state. Third, New Mexicans are tired of hearing about how we're last in this list, we're last in that list. We have a homegrown success story right here in the state. Our oil and gas industry is a national leader. This industry is something each and every New Mexican should take pride in. We aren't okay at oil and gas production. We are great at oil and gas production. And we should be proud of an industry that serves as a national leader. And that optimistic message is something that truly resonates with New Mexicans. We're tired of feeling like we're last in this and last in that. And finally, as you can see, our messages center around the economy and how you drive the economy. If you ask poll after poll, if you ask New Mexicans what's the number one issue for them, what are they most concerned about, what do they care the most about, time and time again, it's the economy, number one, by far in the U.S. And we have a great story to tell when it comes to the economy. This is an issue that we win on when we're talking about our economic contributions to the state of New Mexico. And so when you hear in the moment we're communicating, when you're receiving messages from us on social media, when you see our op-eds, anytime you see NEMOGA putting a message about our industry, you're seeing us fall back on these core messages, which have proven to move New Mexicans toward a more favorable view of our industry. The second point I mentioned before was we're going to build an army. We're going to assemble the largest pro-industry database in New Mexico, and we're going to use that database to make our voices heard in Santa Fe. We're doing this through digital engagement, but we're also doing it by pounding the pavement and showing up in southeast New Mexico, in northwest New Mexico, in Albuquerque, through direct person-to-person interaction, as well as through a sophisticated digital acquisition strategy. Now, the cornerstone of building that army is finding the right people to tell our story. And really getting the people like you who have the most direct at stake in our industry has to be part of our discussions as we move forward. We need the men and women who depend on this industry economically to tell your story to people up in Santa Fe who quite frankly don't get to see you every day. We have a number of politicians who represent your communities, and they do an excellent job of telling your story here. But we need more. We need more voices joining in to help them advocate for more effective policy in Santa Fe. Second to last, we're going to engage voters. NEMOGA, tomorrow, the membership will be voting on eliminating a prohibition on NEMOGA from having any sort of political engagement. We know policy is not formed when legislators arrive in the roundhouse. It's formed on the campaign trail. We have to be competing in this space. Otherwise, we're ceding ground to our opponents. We cannot win this fight if we're not competing in a political space. And really, when we compete, we're talking about making sure that we're pushing not a Republican strategy, not a Democratic strategy, but we're pushing policymakers to embrace the energy industry. And that has been something as an industry that I think we haven't adapted to in New Mexico as successfully as we need to. We cannot tie ourselves to a single political party. We have too much at stake to allow ourselves to be shifting back and forth when the state's political landscape changes. We must pursue an energy majority in New Mexico. And that means supporting the politicians who've consistently supported us, but it also means reaching out and reaching across the aisle and trying to recruit and attract other politicians who maybe want to support us if they knew more. Because if we're tied to one single political party when you have an election, it has consequences. And we simply can't afford to be having to ride a pendulum back and forth depending on which political party is in power. Finally, the last thing our organization is going to do is we're going to keep doing something that we've done an outstanding job on for years. NMOGA's committees have been a huge strength of this organization. As a former state regulator, I can tell you I've been behind the scenes talking to staff about you, about NMOGA and what you bring. And I can tell you, NMOGA's brand is one of technical credibility and know-how. When you come to the table to engage on different regulatory issues, you bring subject matter experts. We don't engage in emotional debates with regulators. We come in with staff and resources to really understand what their concerns are and come up with sensible policies that can actually move us forward. So we're going to double down on the work of our committees. We're going to continue to build on all the success of our committees over the last few decades, and we're going to more aggressively push forward. We've got a window right now over the next year to really put in place a pro-industry narrative at the federal level and at the state level. And our committees right now are doing excellent work in the regulatory arena to make sure that our industry has greater consistency to protect our license to operate moving forward. And so that's what NMOGA is going to do. We're going to communicate better with the public. We're going to build an army, which is currently coming along very well. We're going to engage politically, and we're going to double down on the good work of our committees and continue to fight for good policy. Like I told you a year ago, I promised when I came in and took this job that NMOGA was not going to rest. We're not a country club or the oil and gas industry. We're not a chamber of commerce. We represent the most important industry to the state, and you deserve an association that's gonna levy the type of power that's commensurate with your contribution. We are going to be the most important and influential organization in the state, and I want to thank you for your continued support. Thank you, guys.